Trinity College Theater Program enables students and faculty to continue promoting HFCC's artistic standards. By becoming a member of the Friends of HFCC Theater, you are allowing the theater program to prosper through establishing a scholarship fund, improving costume and scene shop facilities, and enabling the continuation of musical theater productions. For more information on becoming a Friend of HFCC Theater, call 313-845-6478.
Life, but lots of kids in my community don't have the same opportunities. I'm an advocate and fundraiser for my local United Way. I help promote academic achievement and give kids a reason to
WHFR, Dearborn. Good afternoon. You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. We are the station making waves. Right now from 1 to 2 p.m., please stick with me here and listen to my show called Impact. I'm Kristen Risbeck, your host. And on Impact, I feature a nonprofit organization that is usually in the surrounding area, sometimes stretching out across the world. And we find out what they're doing, what's going on, where you can go for any events that they might have coming up, as well as how you could possibly get involved with the organization and your community. So today I'm featuring Come Here Belle Isle, which is an event that is going to be coming up this Saturday. And behind this event is a nonprofit organization called Friends of Belle Isle. I have with me Lori Ferret, who is the board of director and also chairperson for communications and marketing for Friends of Belle Isle. Hello, Lori. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Kristen. I'm happy to be here.
And I also have with us Amanda Brewington, who is the event coordinator for Come Here Belle Isle, and she is from Harvest Music and Sound. Thank you so much. Welcome, Amanda.
Glad to be here, Kristen.
Well, Lori, let's start with you. If we could just get a little background about Belle Isle itself and what it's about, its history, where it went, and its state today.
Well, obviously, yes, it is a big part of Detroit's history. Belle Isle is an island. It used to be used by the Indians long before, you know, the rest of the people came here, Cadillac and all the rest of the explorers. Once the French came and they started making the ribbon farms, they started to use the island for their pigs. The island had many names. It was known as Wanabeezy, which is the Indian word for white swan, because it's part of the migratory swan area. Then it became known as Hog Island once the French were putting their hogs on it, because it also had the name of Rattlesnake Island. Oh. It was infested with rattlesnakes. And the reason they used...
Probably not too many people visiting at that point.
Well, the reason they used it for the pigs is pigs eat snakes.
Oh!
So by putting the pigs on the island, the pigs were not eating the crops, so it protected the farms. Ribbon farms are just very narrow strips of land that bordered the river and went back.
Okay.
So this way they had a nice area to put the animals on. The pigs were eating the snakes, so both benefited. And the island looked nothing like what we see it today. It was all lagoons, marshes, swamps. It's an island, high water table, needed a lot of filling in. But as we got into the 1800s, and it became in the later part of the 1800s, they decided to start to make this into a park. And so they were doing landfills. We know of the lighthouse that's there right now, which is Livingstone Memorial, the only marble lighthouse in the world. But there was a regular lighthouse with a family there, house with the tower coming out the side.
Aww.
And that was located where the parking lot of the Coast Guard station was. And the second keeper, their first keeper was William Badger, but the second keeper was Louis Fitz Jr., and he stayed there for the entirety until they discontinued the lighthouse. And he raised all his children there. Different buildings on the island are very significant in that there's one place called the White House that we use now for our office administration building. And that was actually a farm that was there on the island, and it was owned by Barnabas Campo's widow when she married R.W. Storrs. And then they built the house there. It was later named Inselruhe by a German gentleman that rented it. And that occupied that area. There's an old century barn from there. There's an old sawmill that sits back there because they used to saw some of the wood. The building next to the White House, which looks kind of like an English Tudor-style building, that is actually an old horse stable. Not from the riding, but from the horses that were used on the island, because back in the early part of the 1900s, you know, everything was pulled by horse and wagon. So they used to have the sawmill. They had, like, they mined the ice on the island in the winter. So they cut that. That was all pulled by wagon. All the work that was done on the island was pulled by these horses, and they were stored there. It was also used by the old zoo that used to be there. Huh. So many of these buildings are very significant. That particular building I'm talking about was designed by George Mason, who's, you know, famous architect. Yeah. Other buildings are Albert Kahn, such as the casino building. That actually is the second casino building. There was a former wooden one that was three stories with verandas, and it burnt down.
Now, was it actually a casino?
Casino did not mean gambling, and that's what I'm assuming that you're using the word casino for. The casino did not become associated with gambling until Las Vegas, 1920s. Formerly, all old parks, I mean, I don't care where you go, they all had a building they called a casino. It was a gathering place. Okay. People would say, I'll meet you at the casino. It would usually have concession stands, sometimes dance pavilion, things like that. But it was basically a pavilion that had concessions and was used to gather at. And that's what our casino is. It never contained gambling. Can't say nobody played a card game in there, you know. But
well, how did we go from, you know, just a gathering to money making machines?
And that developed with Las Vegas and the whole gambling industry on that, and then casino somehow formed its way into that type of a building. But no, that
building
never was.
So no, you cannot go down and gamble at Belle Isle, okay? Even though there's a casino there, you cannot go down there and gamble.
Actually, at one time they had talked of putting, before the casinos were built in Detroit, they had talked of having a casino located there on Belle Isle. But Friends of Belle Isle was not for that. And
I can see why.
Yeah, it's a public park, and it has a great history. It has a big, you know, the ecological system of the island. It doesn't need that kind of thing. It's a public park for people to use, to have picnics, to take your families and enjoy.
And this park is huge.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It now encompasses close to 1,000 acres, like 985. It was built up, as I said, back when they started making it into a park, they started doing landfill. And then later, they extended both the east and west ends of the island. The area that you see the Scott Fountain on, that was all built out. The area where the lighthouse stands, that was built out. So they added on over 100 acres. The land that they used for the landfill, a lot of that came from the skyscrapers that were built in downtown Detroit.
Oh, wow.
They brought it over by barge, and then they had a big crane and stuff and filled in those areas. It was a good place to use the dirt that they needed to remove from downtown.
And now it's still used primarily as a public park.
Yes, it is. It is.
And what are some of the things people can expect to do if they came down to it?
Okay, many of us, I know of my age, it used to be take a Sunday drive on Belle Isle. So that's one of the big memories that you would have, and people still do that. It's a one-way road that runs around the island. There is Central Avenue that runs down the center that you can go through, but it's pretty much one-way traffic on most roads. The things that you see when you first enter the island, there's Sunset Point, which was just built up in the last couple of years by the Belle Isle Women's Committee. They built the comfort station there and installed benches, and there's now some beautiful plants there. It's a great spot to sit, and your focal point is the skyline of downtown Detroit.
Oh, it's
very
beautiful
spot.
Absolutely.
And then as you look, you know, the other way west into the island, the first thing that you see is the Scott Fountain, which was dedicated on May 31st, 1925. And James Scott bequeathed his fortune to build this fountain. It is all built of marble. It has Puavic tile on it. It's a beautiful place. Right now it's being renovated, so it is not operating. But it's a great spot to just go see the fountain. Brides come down, take pictures. I mean, people are always taking pictures there at the fountain. Mm-hmm. Just past that, you've got the casino that was designed by Albert Kahn. There's a lot of activity that goes on the island, too, because right by the casino, there's a cricket. People play cricket. There's a cricket court.
Mm-hmm. You don't see that played very often anymore.
You will on Belle Isle.
That's incredible.
Everyone's hiding
out. So if you
want
to check out a cricket game.
I've been there and seen them playing cricket often right there. Mm-hmm. There's bicycle lanes. There's walking lanes because the left side of the road that goes around the island is designated for bicycles or walking. Mm-hmm. You see groups of bicycles going mm-hmm. through. You see walkers, joggers, you name it. There's the Flynn Pavilion, which is next to the casino, which used to be Burt's Jazz at one time. There used to be an old a wooden pavilion there that was for ice skating, because when Lake Tacoma would freeze over, people would ice skate on it. Mm-hmm. So the island is in use mm-hmm. 12 months out of the year. Of course, summertime's picnics, reunions, there's a lot mm-hmm. more people, but there are people out there doing the biking, walking, everything all year round. As you travel past the Flynn Pavilion, you see the Nancy Brown Peace Carillon, which was built. Nancy Brown wrote the experience column in the Detroit News,
okay.
and it was built in 1940, dedicated to her.
Oh, how nice.
And it had chimes that played. There was somebody that actually sat in there playing, you know, the bells, but those broke down. That no longer works. Friends of Belle Isle, as you mentioned before, donated money to have the bells restored. So there is now the bells playing on the hour, half hour, quarter hour. It's a recorded carillon. But you do hear the chiming of the bells. You've got the Anascripts Whitcomb Conservatory, which is beautiful. It is kind of commonly known as the plant house. You've got a palm room, you've got a tropical room, cactus room, fern grotto, and lily pond, and then there's the showroom. They change the flowers in the showroom about four times a year. You know, you have the spring or Easter show with the Easter lilies, poinsettias at Christmas time, mums and things in the fall, and the summer flowers in the showroom. There's also the perennial gardens that stretch out there. There's the Barbaro Fountain, and there's a peacock sundial in the gardens. Mm-hmm. There's the Dawson Great Lakes Museum, which the Dawson is only open on the weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, but it is a great place. Now, talking history, they used to have an old tall ship that was a J.T. Wing that was the Maritime Museum.
Oh.
It dry rotted, and so they had to burn it in the 50s, and in 1960, they built the Dawson. And it's a great place. They've got a Boblo exhibit. They've got, you know, basically the maritime history. There's lighthouse information, ship information, model ships, the Gothic room from the City of Detroit 3. There's a third of it that says you walk in, it's beautiful.
So you could spend an entire day, if not longer.
Oh yeah,
walking,
easy.
Going around Belle mm-hmm. Isle, trying. What do you think one of the most common misconceptions is about Belle Isle?
A lot of the people that I talked to, they were like, "Well, I've been on the island 30 years ago. It was a mess. It was filthy. I didn't want to go back." My answer to that one with people is everything was. Yeah, I remember going to the zoo in the 80s, early 80s. My kids didn't even want to go back. Not the Belle Isle Zoo, the Detroit Zoo. And now it's the reaction I get from those same people is, you know, I haven't been here in 20, 30 years. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. The city, we work with the city a lot on keeping it clean, but the city does. They do try very hard, and they do keep it clean. I can't say that people aren't pigs and they leave their garbage laying. But for the most part, they do try to keep it up, to keep it very clean. And I do get a lot of very positive feedback back from everybody saying how beautiful the island is, that it is a jewel of Detroit.
Now, there used to be a zoo.
Yes, there used to be a zoo.
On there. And so a lot of people still, is there a zoo there? I still hear people ask that, but it's been closed for quite some time, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, along with the aquarium. City of Detroit financial problems caused that to happen. The zoo was established actually on Belle Isle in the late 1800s. They started with a deer park. There was an abandoned zoo that was down by the old, we know it as Tire Stadium, was known as Briggs Stadium, Navenfield. It was down in that area. They brought some of those animals there. It used to have a bear den. They got elephants.
You used to have a bear den?
Yes, a bear den. They got their first
an elephant. How did you get the elephants over? I hope that was probably after the bridge, huh?
Yeah, they had a bridge at that point. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Noah's Ark. But the children of Detroit donated their pennies to buy the first elephant, which was Sheba. She was a baby.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, a little history facts, a little trivia. But, you know, they had quite a few animals there on the island. When they built the Detroit Zoo in 1928, they moved the zoo to the Royal Oak area where it is right now. Mm-hmm. Then they established in the 50s a children's zoo with all nursery rhyme theme. I mean, they'd have, like, the Three Little Pigs, Old Mother in the Shoe. All the little exhibits had the nursery rhyme theme. As a matter of fact, there still is in that area, as far as I know, a couple of the old statues, like one where people used to take pictures, which was the moon, the cow jumped over the moon thing. Mm-hmm. And that was a very popular place for people every year, bring their family and take new family picture. Mm-hmm. In the 80s, they established it as the Safari Zoo, and they built the elevated area with the treehouse and stuff that you saw more recently. That was great because the people could walk on that. They could get very close to the animals. It had viewing with glass where the kids could crawl down and they really saw the animals.
Oh, right, because when you go to most zoos, the way they have it situated and set up, you can't. The kids are so blocked off from actually seeing the animals unless you stand way back trying to get them. So that... Yeah, that's actually very smart.
It was very good for young families because it wasn't as big. A couple hours and, you know, you'd be through, and that's about the time the kids start to get a little cranky.
Yeah.
And I know, I brought my granddaughter there. I'm a volunteer with the zoo. I've worked with the Belle Isle Zoo. You know, it was great. We were very sad to see that close. They did open the Nature Zoo in the old Nature Center. And the deer that we fondly used to feed on the island became so overrun. I mean, there was the leukemia in the herd. We had over 400 head on the island.
Oh, wow.
They had to round them up. Many of them had to be
euthanized.
Well, no
predators, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. And, you know, they even were getting off the island on occasion. So, and they were eating things that deer don't normally eat because they were starving. I mean, there wasn't enough food to supply for that type of herd. It wasn't large enough for them. So that had to end. They do have a small portion of the herd over at the Nature Zoo, and you can feed those.
Okay.
And that's run between the Detroit Zoological Society and Metro Parks. So, and that's open 7 days a week. People can go over there and see a little bit of natural animals like the frogs, the snakes, the turtles, and stuff that would exist here.
Stuff that people go, nowadays in the city, you know.
Exactly. There's also a driving range, something you don't know. The golf course is closed right now and has been for a couple of years because they don't have anyone to back it. But
I actually didn't even know there was a golf course.
There's
there.
A 9-hole golf course.
Haven't even gotten there yet. Yeah. There was a golf course.
Amanda's like, I've been working this event down there forever, and I haven't even seen a golf course. It's that big.
It's right there. It's across from the Yacht Club, Detroit Yacht Club. Mm-hmm. But there is a driving range, which is just about across from where the Nature Center is. And they have a little miniature golf course in there. And, you know, you can go and practice your golf shots.
It's
a nice little place.
You're listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm Kristen Risbeck, host of this talk show, Impact, and I am featuring the nonprofit organization Friends of Belle Isle. And so far we have been talking about the history of Belle Isle, which Lori Ferret is just a wealth of knowledge here. She is the board of director as well as chairperson for communications and marketing for Friends of Belle Isle. And we also have Amanda Brewington, who is the event coordinator for Come Here Belle Isle. And she is from Harvest Music and Sound. And we will be getting to that event in just a little bit here, talking about that. But before we do start talking about that, let's talk about Friends of Belle Isle. Now, I was reading in your history on the website there that I believe it was the founder was on the island seeing these marble soda fountains just getting sledged to death.
Oh, yeah.
And hence, Friends of Belle Isle was born to help preserve this. How did it get to that state? Did people just not care anymore?
Yeah, didn't care. Think about the 70s. Detroit has a bad history for just tear it down and put up something new and modern, basically. That loses all the history. The casino had originally concession stands in it, beautiful marble, like soda fountain accoutrements. And now they were doing a renovation of the casino building. Marilyn Tuchow happened to come by, and she walked in. And as you say, here's the workmen, sledgehammers in hand, just smashing them to smithereens.
Oh.
And she was appalled. She was just, the lack of any attention to the history was just rampant. Mm-hmm. So she said, something has to be done before we lose Belle Isle. Because one of the things that many people see Belle Isle is, it's vacant land. I can put a business there.
Okay.
Build condos, you know, kind of like we lost Boblo to somebody who built all those homes out there.
Right.
That same sort of mentality. So she couldn't see that happening.
And that really saddened me, I just have to tell you, because I have such fond memories of Boblo Island growing up as a kid and going over there. And my favorite ride I still remember to this day was the Mousetrap.
Yeah, that's a great one.
The roller coaster going around and around and around. And I just was horrified when I heard about the closing of that. And okay.
Yeah, many of us are, and I'm involved with them too. But that's another story.
Yeah.
But, you know, we couldn't see that happening. For Detroit to lose Belle Isle would have been tragic. I mean, it's the largest island park in the country. You know, to lose something like that, you know, yes, we have other parks.
I don't think many people realize that.
Right.
But realize just that we have here in the Metro Detroit area the largest national park.
Right. And it has national recognition also because Frederick Law Olmsted helped to design it.
So
it is listed as a Frederick Law Olmsted Park, even though they didn't fully follow his plan. And he dropped off of it after a while, but it is still listed in, you know, the papers for Frederick Law Olmsted. And if you don't know who he is, he designed Central Park and many other parks across the country.
That's incredible.
So, yes, we do have a lot of rich history here. So she got together with people. They developed the nonprofit group Friends of Belle Isle. That was in 1973. And basically, we're here to help preserve the quality, the unique quality of the island, and protect it from changes that would destroy that. We try to develop projects that accomplish our goals and focus on this. We've been involved in several different restorations. There's a Dante Alighieri. Now, if you don't know who he is...
Guilty. I'll admit it. Guilty.
If you've ever heard of the book Dante's Inferno...
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
He's a very famous Italian writer, and the statue was donated by the Italian-American community, and it's located directly opposite from where the zoo is there. And Central, and I'm trying to think of the other street that intersects. But the statue stood there. It needed some repair. You know, there was cracks. It could be lost. Friends of Belle Isle, as a matter of fact, that was the first committee I worked on. I joined it in 95. I went ahead and started working to raise money. We restored the statue. It never had a plaque. People would look at it and not know what it was.
That would be me. Oh, look at this statue. Nice statue that's falling apart. Oh.
Very nice statue, but who is it?
Yeah, exactly. You
know, and we got a plaque on it so that everybody could tell this is Dante Alighieri. We've also donated money to help restore the White House there, which, you know, was originally built by Barnabas Campos' widow. And we've donated money to the athletic field. We have a tree fund people donate for, and, you know, you don't think about it, but it is an island. The mortality on trees is very high there. A lot of them die, you know, whatever. We had the Dutch elm disease that also ruined a lot of the trees. Another thing with it is that we're part of the boreal forest. Originally, before all the people moved in here, this was all forest land. We have one of the remaining mesic forest wetlands. That's what we
didn't
normally
that
call
either.
The woods. That's what we normally just say, the woods on July. It's really part of the original woods that was here.
Oh, wow.
So Friends of Belle Isle has this tree fund. People can donate money to it. And we give the city of Detroit money to buy the trees. The city doesn't have money.
So we seems to be the saga of Detroit right now.
Right. We've been donating $5,000 to $10,000 almost every year. They order the trees, and the Greening of Detroit helps with the planting.
Okay.
Last year in May, we planted some cherry trees by the lagoon, by the Scott Fountain. We had, earlier this year, we had a tree dedication ceremony, you know, honoring people who had been donated to this fund. They just need to designate to us that this is for the tree fund, and it will go directly into that bucket. We also have a preservation fund to help with things. Like right now, we're coming up with a masquerade ball to help donate money to the restoration of the Scott Fountain.
Now, have you guys been affected very much by the economy?
Oh,
as
yes.
far as your fundraising, I would assume.
Right, yeah, every nonprofit is lamenting over the economy. I mean, I'm unemployed myself, and, you know, people don't have a lot of money right now. We're a grassroots group. We're not a rich group.
What are some ways that, okay, you don't have any money to donate. What are some ways? You have, like, stewardship days or
right,
things,
we have
right?
volunteer. You don't have money, but you have
time.
Labor talent.
Because
right,
maybe you're unemployed. Maybe you're unemployed, looking for something to do.
Mm-hmm. We don't
besides
have
stew.
We don't have a lot of things like that, but like I said, we are a grassroots group. So a lot of our people could be retired. You know, they're not most of them in the rich areas. We have a cleanup on the last Saturday of April every year. Our annual Belle Isle cleanup. We get kids down there, families, everybody. We help to clean the winter debris on the island.
So people can bring their entire families down and help out.
Yeah.
I think that's a struggle sometimes with, you know, some parents is just, well, I'd love to come help out, but then I got to have a babysitter or I got to do this. So that's nice to know that they can, you
right.
know, bring their kids down and they can help out and show them this is what you got to do to take care of it.
Right. I mean, real little kids, like a two-year-old, that would be a little bit impossible. But we do have people, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 teenagers. We have kids come down from Martin Luther King High School. You know, and the kids will get credit toward their community service.
Which is incredibly important for college applications these days.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And we give certificates to them, you know, saying that they came down and we help. And we do a hot dog lunch afterward. And I was very successful this year. I got quite a few places to donate, like water or drinks, hot dogs, things like that we served, potato chips. You know, the community was very much behind us. We also have, you mentioned, the stewardship days. We have two groups. It's all part of our Island Observation Group. The Island Observation Group goes around, reports on things that need to be fixed. We get that back to the city. And then we let them know when and if it was fixed or if not. You know, things that there's a couch in the middle of the lagoon or whatever it is. You know,
oh, no.
These things, there's things.
Which I'm
know,
sure has happened because you mentioned that.
There are different things that happen that we need to, you know, water over a roadway, lights that are out, bathrooms need to be fixed, things like that. But there's another segment of that, and this is being run by Mebby Pearson, and she's very much involved, and Kathy Snug, too, in the ecology of the island. We have been being overrun by invasive species of plants. You know, you wouldn't think honeysuckle is invasive, but it was brought here. There's no control on it. It does become invasive. Phragmites, these big, tall reeds that you see growing up over the whole area. All of this stuff is a big problem. Well, this group that she runs works on this. Once a month on a Saturday, we have something called our stewardship workshops. And they've been going through the woods and cutting back many of these, like the honeysuckle, the privet, these invasive plants, and treating them so that the understory can grow, the things that need to be here. We have plants here on the island that are unique. And the Phragmites, the Friends of Belle Isle, has contributed money to help. We've hired a group that's come out here, treated them, and we had a burn here on the island to kill the remaining parts, to remove those.
Oh.
And the Phragmites, the problem with those, you can't even hardly walk through them. Their roots go down 6 feet deep. It becomes so thick, even animals can't hardly get
through. So you can't pull them up.
Oh, no.
You can't walk around pulling these things up. So you had to actually go to something as extreme as a burning.
Exactly. It had to be treated in the fall, and then the dead parts burned back. And then by doing that, the actual normal stuff that should be growing can grow up. Otherwise, you could lose this forest that we have.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which I just found out is part of the original forest of all of Metro Detroit.
Exactly.
So obviously, that's very important.
Things you don't want to lose.
Yeah. You're listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM, and this is the show Impact, where I'm your host, Kristen Risbeck. I feature a nonprofit organization, and I have with me here today Friends of Belle Isle. And one of the main reasons I have you in here today is we're going to turn here to Amanda Brewington, who is the event coordinator for this event coming up this Saturday called Come Here Belle Isle. So, Amanda, if you could give us a little bit of information about what is that? What's going on?
Yeah, Come Here Belle Isle this Saturday. It's from 1 to 7 on Belle Isle at the Remick Music Shell. And the music shell, you know, if you've been out to Belle Isle, you've probably seen it. And it's like, well, I don't see a ton of things out on the music shell. But we're going to have 9 bands playing. We also have nonprofits from all over the city coming out to showcase and get volunteers and recruit people and collect email addresses and just pretty much say, hey, look, here's an organization you can get involved with the city. And, I mean, they kind of cover all different ranges. We have Inside Detroit Tours is coming out, and they're going to talk about how they do tours of all the different locations of the city. They go on different bar tours and just anything, really. And then there's, I mean, everything from that to more like Greening of Detroit is going to come out and have a table. So if you're environmental, if you're just new to the city, you want to learn about the city, if you have a ton of history like Lori does about the city, you can join Friends of Belle Isle as well. They're, of course, going to be there and have a table. So the whole, just to give you some history on this, Come Here Belle Isle is an idea I had in May. And it was just in February, I guess I'll back up a little further. In February, I went out to Belle Isle with my family, and we had a day out there, and we went out to the conservatory, and we were looking at flowers. I mean, it's great that you can go see, you know, flowers and palm trees and everything, all this great, you know, things you don't usually see in Michigan in winter. And so we went out there in February just for a day to, you know, do something different. And I came back, I actually live in Lansing, and I was telling my friends about it, like, oh, yeah, we went out to Belle Isle. I love, you know, grew up going to Belle Isle. My dad took me there when I was a kid. There's this great place. There used to be this aquarium. You're just telling them kind of the history. And they were like, what is it? Where is this? Is this in the city of Detroit? And I'm like, yes, it's this awesome island that's right on the Detroit River. You look over and there's the great skyline of Detroit, as Lori was mentioning earlier. I mean, it's just this amazing place, and there's all this great history there. And to my, I wouldn't say to my surprise, but to my devastation, many of my friends had no idea it was there. Or if they grew up in Metro Detroit, they said, oh, yeah, I think I went there once when I was a kid. Oh, I think I went to a picnic there once. You know, it was very, nobody really knew about it. And I couldn't believe that no one had, you know, I assumed everyone's parents took them to Belle Isle. mine did, so I thought everyone did. And so I was like, well, man, I would just love to have an event and get people, you know, I'm in my 20s, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, to come out and, you know, see Belle Isle, because apparently they don't. So I went to the Friends of Belle Isle's general meeting, or board meeting, in May, and just told them, hey, I want to have this event. Would you guys like to help out? I see that you do all these great things for the island. I knew a little bit about Friends of Belle Isle, but I hadn't really been involved. And so I went, and they said, hey, yeah, you sound excited, and we like Belle Isle too. So we just kind of came together, and that was the beginning. So,
well, and that also shows actually a very big openness too on the part of Friends of Belle Isle, because there are organizations out there that get stuck in their, you know, little clicks, so to speak. You know, so it's very nice to know that the organization is that open and willing to, hey, yeah, come on down.
Exactly.
Well, she's willing to do something for Belle Isle. Bring people there. Introduce them. You know, whether it's young or old.
Exactly.
You know, bring
anybody.
Them down. Get them to come down to
bring the family.
That's what we want.
Exactly.
We want people to come there. We want them to enjoy it. And, you know, groups like this, if they can have an event, that they've got to, of course, organize it through the administration office, because Friends of Belle Isle does not control what goes on Belle Isle.
Right.
That's all handled by the city recreation department, and they have a Belle Isle administration.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the people, if you want to have a wedding on the island, you'd contact them. If you want to have a family picnic, you contact them.
Mm-hmm.
I refer these people all the time to them. But Keith Flournoy, the park manager, does a great job, and he works very hard. And, you know, anybody who wants to benefit Belle Isle like this, you know, we're more than happy to see them do that.
Exactly. Well, the meeting I went to, that it just happened, you know, Roberta said, well, you're going to have to talk to Keith. You know, he manages the park. Well, Keith showed up at the meeting. And Keith doesn't go to their meetings usually. He just happened to stop by at the exact meeting I happened to stop by, and he was just excited. And so I've been working with the parks, and they've been great. They're just very much, hey, you want to bring people out here? Let's do it, you know. So it's very cool how accepting everyone's been, and all the, you know, different people have come in contact, all have had really positive, wow, well, where did this come from? Why? They always say, why are you doing this? And I just said, because I want to.
Because it's awesome.
Because I love Belle Isle, and I love Detroit, and I want more people to have a positive opinion of Detroit, because that's a problem we run up against a lot. You know, people, oh, well, isn't it dangerous? Isn't it bad? No, it's actually not. I mean, if you go there on a Saturday, I was just there last weekend, it's just packed. It's packed. I mean, you drive, if you get there around noon, or, you know, maybe a little later, maybe a little earlier, the whole drive, the one-way drive that Lori mentioned earlier, is just full of cars. It's full of cars. There's family reunions, there's company picnics, there's just tons of things going on Saturday at Belle Isle. I mean, if it rains, yes, it's a little less because it's a park, but for the most part, it's a busy place, you know, and people have no idea if they aren't from the city, if they've never been taken by parents, family, friends. But it's everything. It's family. It's, you know, people. I've seen people with their dogs out there, of course, on a leash. But, you know, have your dog out there, your family, whatever.
There are rules.
There are rules.
So dogs are allowed.
Yes, dogs are allowed.
Dogs are allowed.
Friends of Belle Isle, was it last year or so? We created, because there were rules for the island, but they weren't really posted. And we had several signs made up. And there's 10 rules. It's all posted. It tells you, you know, you can't bring your pet piranhas or your pet
within reason
pythons to the island. No, but dogs are welcome on a leash, you know, and don't have a barbecue under a tree. And the reasons for that is it can damage the tree.
Right. Exactly.
You know, not only possibly catch it fire, but just the smoke. It can cause damage to the tree. But, I mean, they're all logical rules. You know, pick up after yourself. Pick up your garbage. There are receptacles for it.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
So do they have, are there people who, since it is a city park, are there people who monitor it? They're going around, like, enforcing these rules?
Yes, there are police.
Okay,
there's a
good
police station right on Belle Isle. It's a historic police station, actually. And the first radio broadcast for police cars was made from that.
There you go.
And, you know, the police do get issue tickets. They do monitor the mounted police. The Detroit Mounties were gone for a while, but they are back.
Awesome.
And they are present on Belle Isle. They do bring the horses. Right now, they were going to have the horses on Belle Isle, but the stables that are there weren't really good. So they had to go to Palmer Park. But they do come down with the horses.
So in response to the people then who are sitting there, oh, it's dangerous, it's Detroit, it's not.
It's not at all.
No, there's so much safety going on down there.
There are rules. There are police. It's just in the adventure of planning this event, I've gone to Belle Isle, you know, almost every weekend just to go and flyer and let people know about it. And I had, you know, I was having trouble finding a tent to rent. And I went up to this family picnic. I don't know these people. I'm clearly not their family. And I just walked up and said, "Hi, you know, I like the tent you have there. You know, where could I rent that?" And the woman gets out a pen and starts writing down these names and numbers. I mean, everyone's so friendly and so, like, ready to help you. You know, it's not like this dangerous, you know, crazy place. It's this family, these helpful, nice people. I mean, that's been my experience every time for my entire life. So that, you know, that's what I really just want this event for people to come out, check out the island and see what a great place that they didn't even know was there. Or maybe they didn't. They had a negative opinion. And
now, I've noticed on some of the information here that you're kind of looking for a younger crowd.
Oh, a little bit. That was the original goal, was like, well, you know, maybe younger people who are just moving to the city, you know, young professionals settling in, maybe young families. But, I mean, my parents are helping me out with it. There's tons of people coming out who aren't younger, you know, and our lineup of music is really all over the place. It's really
so it's open then across the board to people. Yep. So no matter really what your age, even though you may think it's, you know, just for the younger crowd, hey, if you still want to come down to the event, go down to the event.
Exactly. Know? Yep. And it's open. It's a big open area. So it's a free event. We're just asking for suggested donations, and all the donations will go to Preserving Belle Isle through the Friends of Belle Isle. So
what are some of the bands? Let's go ahead. Yep. Let's hear the lineup.
Okay.
For it.
Yep. We have a more like folk indie rock artist, Joe Hertler, is going to be playing at 1 o'clock. Then we have Dupe and the Inside Outlaws, which is more of a rock band. There's a couple of people of notable Detroit rock status in that band as well. Leif Erickson is more of a drum and bass. He's emceed some events for us as well, so it's more of a R&B type feel there. We have Loon, which is an indie rock band. Some of the members are from Ann Arbor. Some of them are from MSU. Most of the bands, though, are Detroit, and all of them are Michigan based. The Maunder Minimum is more of a rock band as well, and actually the guys from the Maunder Minimum are on the committee for the event, and they have been really great supportive. They had a show a month ago, and some of the money from their show is coming to help out with the event and then go to donation as well. Chris Bathgate from Ann Arbor is going to be there, and he's more of a folk indie rock artist. He's going to have a full band, which he usually plays solo, so it's kind of cool. He's going to come out and have a full band for us. And then we end the night with the last three being the High Strung is a rock band. Champions of Breakfast is an interesting band. They're more of a like dance disco type band, as they would describe themselves. And we're ending the night with Detroit rock staples, in my opinion, The Sights. So at 6:20. So from 1 to 7, full day of
music.
Wow. So.
And that's quite the lineup.
Yeah.
That is quite the lineup.
It is.
I know we play some of those bands here at WHFR. Okay. So, very exciting. And very exciting that they're, you know, locally based
exactly.
as well, too.
And just to say it, they are all donating their time to play. They are, you know, they're coming out on their time to play and do everything. So it was a great response. I mean, we contacted tons of bands, and these guys, most of them, like, right away, yes, you know, I'll be there. When is it? And some of them actually contacted us and said, hey, we've always wanted to play on Belle Isle, so could we be on your event? And
that's cool.
So, yeah, it was just great. I mean, I was to a point where we had a couple bands we actually had to turn away, and it was like, oh, we could only have the day go on forever.
Let's go to midnight.
Yeah, exactly.
We couldn't go to midnight. They do close the park at 10 o'clock.
right. So we thought 7 was a good ending time. We'll clean up, we'll move off the island, and I'll leave before 10 o'clock. So that's kind of the goal there.
Now, in addition to the bands that will be playing down there, you have a bunch of tables of nonprofit organizations mm-hmm. ready to help you, you know, tell you how to help them and help you.
Exactly. Well, I know a lot of people also that I've talked to, you know, say, well, I'd love to get involved in Detroit, but I don't know, you know, where I go or what group is, you know, what's a good group, what's a bad group to work with, whatever. So I thought, I had this idea. I was like, well, let's have different nonprofits that, you know, are, you know, registered nonprofits come out and have tables and just say, hey, this is what we need. If you're interested in this, you can work over here. You can interested in this over here, and just really try to get a good, like, eclectic group of different nonprofits to come out to the event. And we also have just some organizations that are in the city, and we actually have a few companies that are coming out that have donated, like, free, some samples and things like that. So It's kind of almost turned into there. Like, yeah, almost like this festival almost, which is like, oh, that's a scary word. That could be big and scary. But hey, you know, that's a problem I want to have. I want to have too many people come out to the event. So,
well, what are some of the nonprofits that might be coming?
Definitely. Well, we have Friends of Belle Isle, of course, is coming out. There's a blog called Detroit Lives. The guy who runs his name is Phil. He's coming out and having a table, and he also does some artwork, so he's going to display some of his stuff. Inside Detroit Tours, that I mentioned earlier, touring Detroit, and they're a really cool organization. I went to their welcome center, and they let us put up a flyer, and they're promoting the event as well. Then we also have Detroit Synergy, which is a group that does just all different. They're cool. They kind of do social outings, and they have like Third Thursdays where they go and have some drinks at a bar but collect items for a nonprofit. So they just do all kinds of different events. We're also going to have a table where you can either register to vote or promise to vote. That's run by a couple different organizations. And then we also have recoveryparks.org. They're going to come out. They're a group that is just trying to rebuild some community aspects of Detroit, and they're going to have a table. Then I could go on forever. I mean, I'm like, well, I've been talking for a while. I'm halfway through the list.
Going
through the
list. No, so, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Now, if there happens to be an organization that's listening right now, is there still time to get in?
Yes.
On it.
I've ordered tables and chairs, but they tell me I can add them up until Friday. So if you last minute want to get in touch and have your nonprofit.
And who would they contact?
They can contact myself. Okay. Yep. You can contact me at Come Here. And here's the tricky part. It's H-E-A-R, like Come Hear the Island, like Hear the Music, rather than Hear like I'm hailing the island over here. So it's Come, H-E-A-R, Come Here Belle Isle @gmail.com. You can email me there at any time. And I check that pretty regularly on the hour almost. So
there's also one of the most favorite medians, I think, of people's communicating. There's also a Facebook site,
yes,
isn't there?
Yes, our Facebook page actually has, I checked it right before I left, over 300 people who like it. So I hope all 300 of them come out.
And that would just be
Facebook.com/Come Here Belle Isle. And if you search it, if you Google Come Here Belle Isle, which I've done a couple times, there's a lot of different press and things that have information of where you can get involved and get a hold of me.
So. Okay, and go ahead, spell Belle Isle.
Oh,
it is okay. Tricky. You know, yeah. It is tricky. If you're not familiar with the
place,
it's kind of tricky.
To take it back, I mean, Detroit is really Detroit. It's French, you know, we have French heritage. I'm actually Native American and French, so very much from Detroit. and actually some Canadian, too. But, yeah, so Belle Isle is B-E-L-L-E, and then Isle's I-S-L-E. So.
Right, so it's not Belle Island.
Yeah, it's not Belle Island. And remember,
it's Belle Isle.
Just add an E. Just add an E. It's French. Just add an E. That's the thing to remember. You know?
Just think of it as Beautiful Island. And if you're thinking in French, it would be Belle Isle. It was actually... Mm-hmm. Received that name from Isabella Cass, who was the daughter of Governor General Cass, and they were at a picnic on the island, and they named it after her, so Belle Isle.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You're listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is Impact, a talk show that features a nonprofit organization, and what they are doing. We have been talking with Lori Ferret, who is the board of director and chairperson for communications and marketing on Friends of Belle Isle. And we have Amanda Brewington, who is the event coordinator for Come Here Belle Isle, which is an event that's happening, a fundraising event that's happening this coming Saturday from 1 to 7 on Belle Isle. So, Lori, I'm going to turn to you again here real quick. What else is coming up? I know you guys have some more events that are coming up since, you know, this... You're not going to be back on the show for a little while, so...
We always have things happening. One thing to let people know, if you're looking for the Remick Band Shell, or Music Shell, it is located between the Flynn Pavilion and the Nancy Brown Carillon. So if you come onto the island, you know, you go to your right, you turn left on Central Avenue, which is the very first street, go past the casino, and there's a road that goes off to your right. I believe it's Muse. But you go to the right on that very first road there by, there's a statue of a Civil War soldier. And then that will curve, go past the Flynn Pavilion, and go right to the Remick. Mm-hmm. So that's the area where they will be at.
What is the parking situation like down there?
Well, don't know how much room you guys, because there's a parking lot right there at the Remick, but I would think that you're probably taking that up with all of your,
that is
your
correct.
Tables and things like that. There is parking along the street.
Okay.
So it'd be kind of catch as catch.
Is it paid parking?
No, there's no paid parking. There's no paid.
Okay, so people don't need to be worrying about bringing quarters or anything.
No. There's no paid parking on the island. There is further up across from the old aquarium and conservatory, there is a parking lot there with a shelter there too. So it'd be kind of park where you can.
Yeah.
There's parking by the casino, but again, if you're parked a little further, you may have to walk a little bit to get where you want to be. There's a parking lot on Strand, which is right there on the Canadian side. It's not part of Canada, but facing Canada, just past the Dawson. There's a pretty good-sized parking lot over there also.
Okay.
So you just got to kind of drive around and see where you can find some parking. But we do have coming up, I mentioned, the Stewardship Saturday, September 11th. We will be having one. It's meet at 9 o'clock at the Nature Zoo. It goes until noon. And we supply, you know, you can bring lopers if you want, but we do have the tools. They will get everyone together there. Coming September 25th, this is kind of new. It's a beach cleanup being run by the Clean Water Act.
Hmm.
We're only participating with them with it. It's not our particular event, but it does benefit the island. So, and that starts, it's on our website. All the information on it. They're still kind of formulating exactly where to meet, so keep looking for updates. I mentioned earlier about a masquerade ball.
This really intrigues me.
Yeah, it's a Victorian masquerade ball, not a Halloween party.
It sounds really neat.
It's no Halloween costumes. It's formal. So if you don't have a Victorian gown, you could wear, you know, just a long formal gown. It is black tie, but for gents, you know, if you don't have a tuxedo, a suit is acceptable. You don't have to wear a mask, but we do suggest them. They will have a few available, but if you don't have one and you wanted to get one, they do have a lot of them on the internet at all kinds of prices.
It's a masquerade ball. If you're going, wear a mask. That's the whole point, right? Isn't the whole point of masquerade ball? Otherwise, you just call it a ball, you know, or something like that. Belle Isle Ball or something instead of a masquerade ball. So and that makes it fun.
Right. So reservations are on sale by calling our office at 313-331-7760. All proceeds will go toward the restoration of the fountain. There will be heavy hors d'oeuvres served and wine and cider, and we will have a group there playing music. And it runs from 7 to 10 on Friday, October 8th at the casino.
Okay.
So it should be a fun night. This is the first time we've done this. We have done things in the past. We've had a wassail party at Christmas time. We've done a fashion show. You know, it's if somebody wants to run something like this with us, then that's what we need. We need people to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the wassail we had for many years, we had the fashion show for many years. Unfortunately, the people that were running them, you know, health issues, other things were impacting, and there wasn't anybody else to pick up the ball and go with it. So in this case, Tanae is one of our board of directors, and she's the one that's doing most of the organizing, and Linda is helping her. So, you know, they're the ones that are really putting it all together.
We're also going to have a silent auction at the masquerade ball as well.
Yes, that's so. What I was going to say. The masquerade ball is...
That's okay. That's all right.
Part of the entertainment for it, other than the music, is a silent auction. So, and that will be by cash or check only. And that will also generate funds to, you know... Well, go toward the fountain, and Amanda is one of the people here that is getting the prizes that we're having, and they sound like some great prizes.
What are some of the things? We have an item from the Detroit Tigers memorabilia item, which is pretty that's what I'm excited about, or I think most people will be the most excited about. But we also have, you know, some coupons for dinners and hotel stays and things like that. So pretty much, you know, some pretty high profile places that, you know, usually you'd probably be paying quite a bit of money to go to, and you could bid on them. And of course, we want you to bid as most money as you can. But, you know, it's a cool thing because then you can go to this great place maybe you've always wanted to go or you already go to, and then the money goes to help with the fountain. So it's pretty great.
And you get to wear a mask. Yes. At a ball. And dress up fancy. Come on, you don't get to do that often anymore. Exactly. Well, if you could just give all the contact information here before we close out the show. If people want to get involved, where do they go?
Just check out our website, fobi.org, or Google Friends of Belle Isle. We also have a Facebook page. I post everything that's going on the island. I mean, the city runs things throughout the year. Like, there's Kite Day. You can bring your kids down on the island and make kites. They have...
I missed that.
Yeah, there was Jazz on the Beach. You just missed that. That was on Sundays. There was Movies in the Park at the Remick Bandshell, where they were playing. It was on Thursdays. There still is one. The Nature Zoo has a... Sunday afternoon at the zoo with, and there's a group going to be playing. I think that's September 12th, if I'm not mistaken. But that's all on our website. We post everything there. If you want to come to one of our board meetings, they are open to the public. They're the second Wednesday of a month, and the schedule is all on the website also on the Facebook page. 6 o'clock, and our offices are at 8109 East Jefferson at the corner of Parker. We have memberships available, and there's a variety of different, you know, it's like seniors or students are $10. I think individual is $25. So there's different grades of membership. We'd be happy to have you be a member. We have a quarterly newsletter that shows you all the things that are going on the island. We have our Speakers Bureau. If you have a group that you'd like somebody to come out and talk to you about Belle Isle, you know, contact our office, 313-331-7760, or write to us from our website. We've done bus tours. We've gone and talked to people. We do ask for a donation for the Friends of Belle Isle for the time, but we'd be happy to try and schedule something.
Do you do school, like assemblies?
We haven't had that request yet, but, you know, we could look at it. It's all with, we're volunteers. We're an all-volunteer right. group, so it does have to deal with when we have people that are available to be able to make the commitments.
Very good. Well, I just, thank you so much. Is there anything else that I might have missed we didn't cover that you want to make sure that gets out there?
No, just one last thing is the Come Here Belle Isle event is on Saturday, and you can check out Friends of Belle Isle and meet some of the members of their board and their committees and get involved with Friends of Belle Isle at Come Here Belle Isle. And you can find out more about the event at facebook.com/Come Here Belle Isle.
All right. Well, thank you, Lori and Amanda, so much for coming in. And I learned a lot. I learned a ton, and would love to have you back on, and I will definitely be seeing you guys this Saturday coming down there to check it out at Belle Isle. Thank you. Thank you very much
for
coming.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you very much for having us here.
You've been listening to Impact here on 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I am Kristen Risbeck, and please be sure to join me next month as well for my show, which is on the fourth Tuesday of every month from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., And Friends of Belle Isle, check them out. They're definitely making an impact in today's community and today's time.
Henry Ford Community College Theater Arts proudly presents Suburbia, August 19th through 21st and August 26th through 28th. The play is a hard-hitting commentary on American culture and is directed by Christopher Bremer. Suburbia chronicles the nighttime activities of a group of aimless 20-somethings and their reunion with a high school classmate who has become a successful musician. All shows are at 8 p.m. and tickets are only $12 for adults and $10 for students. Call 313-845-9817 for more information. That's 313-845-9817 for Suburbia at Henry Ford Community College in Dearborn. Some adult content, parental caution advised.
Hi, professional skateboarder Tony Hawk here with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck to remind you to get moving every day.
Because when you get moving an hour a day,
you'll have the energy to skate through anything.
Nice play on words, Doc.
That's how I roll, Bugs. So whether you like to work the half pipe,
now that's catching air,
kick the soccer ball around, or dance in your room,
just move it your way
for an hour a day.
The way you like to move, as long as you're moving.
Carve out some time every day and get active. Because it's time to do a 180 on what you think exercise is.
Because it can be whatever you want it to be. So be a player.
Be a player.
Get up and play an hour a day, Doc. Check out how to be a player at letsmove.gov.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
At www.letsmove.gov. Let's hear that one more time, Doc. That's www.letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
D101 is open for your dining pleasure in the Student and Culinary Arts Center on Henry Ford Community College's main campus in Dearborn. 5101 offers a fresh, innovative approach to fine dining with all entrees made from the freshest ingredients with weekly specialties highlighting different countries and cultures. For hours of operation or to make reservations, please call 313-206-5101. That's 313-206-5101. 5101, an elegant dining experience at an affordable price.
Hear the excitement. Come hear the music. Come hear Belle Isle. Saturday, August 28th from 1 to 7 p.m. Come to the Remick Music Shell on Belle Isle to hear some of the hottest bands from Detroit and around the state. Like the Sights, the High Strung, the Maunder Minimum, Champions of Breakfast, Chris Bathgate, Loon, Dupe and the Inside Outlaws, Copper Thieves and more. Proceeds from the event will go to the restoration and preservation of America's largest city island park, Belle Isle. Plus, learn how you can get involved with your community. Nonprofits from all over Detroit will be showcasing ways to get involved in their organizations. Listen to great music. Help preserve Belle Isle. Rediscover Detroit. And get involved with your community. Saturday, August 28th from 1 to 7 p.m. at the Remick Museum.